Hey, man. Thank you, guys. You know, I don't know about you, but I kind of like this weather. I like the sun, but, you know, I like it. It's good. We don't need the canopies, and everybody's not herded in this corner here. You know, I've been watching the cameras in the service when I wasn't here, and I saw everybody, you know, grazing over here. Yeah, and you have a few cattle over here, sheep over here, but mostly everybody was over there. It looked funny. But hope everybody had a great time with their family and a Merry Christmas, I should say. I know I did. I had a great time with my grandkids and my children. And this time time just spending with them is great. In fact, the doctor said we're the most safest family around. We're the most safest family to be around because we all had COVID. So, you know, we all passed it. You know, we're all done with it. So, you know, everybody wanted to hang out with us. So, anyways, this morning we're going to take a break from Luke because we're going to talk about the birth of Christ, our Christmas service. We weren't able to have a Good Friday service because we couldn't get the help to bring everything out. I'm praying about starting next year about going back into the building. I think, you know, it is what it is. So we'll see. Plus, the weather's going to get cold and the rain's coming. And I don't want to be out here in the rain when it starts to snow. But we're going to talk about Christ. Now, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, because that's really I love this chapter. Even though Matthew doesn't give us great detail about the birth of Jesus in this chapter like Luke does, and we already did Luke chapter 1, but he does tells us, you know, shows us where Jesus came from. You know, he came from, obviously, we all believed, the Holy Spirit. But I have to say this, that, you know what? Jesus being born, that was the start in the plan of our salvation. It started with the birth of Christ. And you got to think about it. Think about if Jesus wasn't born. If Jesus wasn't born, then there would have been no crucifixion, right? He wouldn't have been crucified. And if there was no crucifixion, then there would have been no resurrection. And if there was no resurrection, you know what that meant? There would have been no hope for any of us. And I think Paul said it best when he said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. He says, if we are Christians, and I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. He said, if being a Christian is of value to us only now in this life, then we are most miserable of creatures. In other words, if this is it, if having Jesus in our life, if there was no resurrection, if there was no crucifixion, if there was no birth of Christ, if this was it, then why do it? Why? We'd be miserable. I think we all would be Jehovah's Witnesses, right? Because this would be the end. There would be no heaven. But Jesus was born, what? To die so that we can receive the greatest gift of all. And that's eternal life. That's why he came. Aren't you guys happy that you have eternal life? Amen. If we're going to rejoice in anything, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'd never had my name written in somebody's black book. I didn't even have Carmen's name written in my book, you know. But to be written in God's book, man, that is the greatest gift of all. And so again, Jesus came. He was born. He was born to die. And you got to think about it. But when he was born, that was the very first Christmas ever, was the birth of Christ. And when he was born, that Christmas celebration, it wasn't about any gifts that were given to him. You know, when the wise men, they came, the wise guys, they came and they gave him gifts of myrrh and frankincense and incense. They were giving gifts to the Son of God, to the Messiah. But it wasn't about the gifts that were given to him. It was about him being the greatest gift of all to them, to us. I mean, that is the greatest gift of all. Now, I don't know if you received any gifts, okay, this Christmas. But there is no gift that can compare to the gift that was given to us. And again, like I said, Matthew, he doesn't get into great detail, but Jesus Christ is all we need. He's more than enough. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 18. We're going to kind of, it speaks to me a lot, and I love this chapter and these few portions of Scripture because it really ministered to me, and I know they'll minister to you. It tells us of verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, you got to remember back in those times, in the days of Jesus, there was kind of like three steps to being engaged. Back then, the first step was the engagement. That's when, like, if I had a son, like my son and somebody who had a daughter, maybe when they were young and little, we had this pre-arrangement engagement where we would say, okay, my son, I want your daughter for my son. And so that was the start of a marriage. And I would say, okay, hey, you know, your daughter is going to be engaged to my son. And then from there, it goes into the next step, which, and I can't really pronounce this word right. You're going to have to help me. It's called betrothed. Okay, that's better. I got this program that says how to pronounce it. And every time I put the word in, it doesn't sound like it's different. Maybe it's like pure English. You know, there's two kinds of Spanish. I was learning Spanish one time. Richard's wife, Gretchen, oh, she was awesome. And she was teaching me Spanish. And then I would go home and I would try it on my mother-in-law. And she was like, because she was teaching perfect Spanish. There was perfect Spanish and then there's slang. And I was doing the slang. But betrothed, that was the next step. And that would happen after the arrangement of engagement, because that was the binding agreement, the official agreement that said, okay, this is a binding thing here. They're betrothed, and this is going to take place for about a year. Now, the only way that if we said, okay, hey, I changed my mind, I don't want your daughter, for my son, is then it would be through a divorce, so to speak, like a divorce. But even before they were married. And then the next step would be the actual marriage. And this would happen after the year of them being betrothed. And so here we see in verse 18 that Mary, she was engaged to Joseph. And before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. So, again, Jesus' birth was of the Holy Spirit. Never before had anybody ever been born of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was. And because he was, guess what? Now we are born again of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? That God's plan is perfect. It's perfect. And everything he has did for his son, he did it so that we can partake of it, so that we can partake of his divine nature, partake of his blessings. And because of that, the enemy said, hey, this is working for them. So we need to make a counterfeit. You got to be careful because what God did for Jesus and God's plan of salvation and God's plan of eternal life, Satan, he says, you know what? We're going to have a counterfeit. We're going to do the same thing, and we're going to try to deceive and try to get people like he did to Jesus, right? Remember when he took him out 40 days and 40 nights? Hey, you know what? You don't have to go to the cross. Just bow down, serve me, and I'll give you everything. I'll give you the kingdoms. But he wouldn't do it. So Jesus' birth was of the Holy Spirit, and everyone would have to either accept that according to the Scripture. You can either have to accept it or reject it. But the Scriptures are very clear about what it says. And it says that before they came, verse 18, before they came together, it says Mary was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Guys, this was the start of our salvation. His birth was the start of us having eternal life. And it was the start of our faith and our trust in the love of God. God is the God of love. And it's revealed in scriptures how God cared for us, how he loved us so much that his love, it's a eternal and it's a perfect love. It just doesn't end here. Can you imagine if God loves us so much now that he gave his only son for us, that if we believe in him, we will be saved. Can you imagine the love, how the God of love and the love of God's going to be when we get into heaven? Think about it. How good it is now with God, it's not even compared to how it's going to be when we get to heaven. Oh, man, I can't wait. To be perfect? Wow, you guys are going to be perfect. You're going to have new bodies. We're going to see our loved ones. Yeah, be excited about it. That this ain't really me. I tell you guys, this ain't me. So you're looking at me, this is not, I'm just a tent. And if I was in a box, I would be like an 8-man tent. You know, this is just a tent, and a tent is what meant to break down. And God says, one day you're going to be broken down, and you're going to have a new tent, a new body, not made by the hands of man, but by the hands of God. I'm not going to be my father's son anymore. I'm going to be God's true son, eternal life. We have that waiting for us. And it's going to be a eternal and it's going to be a perfect love. It's going to be that love that God gave us to save us from our sins. In fact, in verse 21 of Matthew, here in chapter 1, it says that she's going to bring forth a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I mean, this is the greatest love that God could ever give us, right here. Right here in this verse, his son. That is the greatest love that God could ever give us. And he was willing to save us from our sins. And this is how great that God wanted to save us, that he saved us even when we were yet still sinners. Think about that. I mean, this is the greatest event that has ever taken place in our entire life or in human history. And that's when God became one with man. In fact, it tells us, as we're going to see, one of Jesus' name is Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us, right? That was the start of God being one with us. Jesus was with us, Emmanuel. Now, again, as we read about the birth of Christ, the Bible doesn't specifically state how old Mary was when Jesus was born, but a lot of theologians and Christian scholars, they believe that Mary was, she was a teenager. She's probably 15 or 16 years of age when she found to be pregnant with a child, conceived of the Holy Spirit. But what I can say is that was the start of a whole new relationship with her and a whole new relationship with us. That was the start. You got to think about, when did my relationship with God really start? You know, I got saved in 1978, but it didn't start then. I just got saved. I had just accepted Jesus Christ in my heart, but I wasn't walking with the Lord. I didn't understand. It wasn't probably till the early 80s, where my relationships really started to have a relationship with God. When I started reading the Word of God, when I started worshiping, when I started going to church and doing the Lord's work, is when my relationship was really changed, and that's when I really had a relationship with God. Well, Mary's being conceived by the Holy Spirit, that's when her new relationship started with God. I mean, I used to, when I got saved, I used to go into that North Park Theater. And one time I went in there, and I've told you this story. I was a Catholic. I was born a Catholic, according to my dad, and I was going to die a Catholic. And so this was a whole totally new concept for me. When I went in there, here I saw this white guy, Mike McIntosh and Daisy Dukes. Well, they were cut off jeans, but they were real short, and chanclas, and a T-shirt. And I'm thinking, wow, that's the pastor. You know, and I remember sitting there, and I used to wear a hat, you know, baseball hat. That's when I used to have a lot of hair. And I remember the usher came to me and said, you need to take off your hat. Well, I didn't want to take off my hat. And she says, you need to take off your hat. So I just decided to get up and walked off. I got up and I just left. And that was the first time, and I believe that might have been the first time I actually entered into the North Park Theater. And Carmen went up to that usher and she said, you know what, I've been praying and it took me a long time to get him to come in here, and because of you, he left. I just went out and I was in the foyer, and she came out and she said, sir, please forgive me. And she apologized, and she said, please come in. You don't have to wear your, you don't have to take off your hat, which told me that this is something she just decided to do. It wasn't the church policy. It's just her. Be careful that you don't change the word of God to your liking. This is because she felt that I needed to do it, and because of that I left. But she came in and said, you don't have to take it off, please come in. And finally she talked me in, and I did go in. But that was the start of a whole new relationship. Jesus being born of Mary was the start of a whole new relationship with her, and it was the start of a whole new relationship with us. Think about it. She was carrying the Son of God. We're talking about our Lord and our Savior was in her stomach. Think about that, ladies. That's why you're blessed. Some of you might. Well, let's see. Nope, no one here. You got to experience it. Unless you still want to be pregnant. I think we need a lot of children. We need some children in our children's ministry. So I'm trying to talk Carmen into him. And Tony, hopefully you can talk Irene into having another child. Because we need some children. Oh, you know? But she had our Lord and Savior in her stomach. And that led to us carrying the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus now living in our hearts. And so you can imagine what Mary was feeling, knowing that she's going to have the Savior of the world, the Messiah. Remember when you were baptized with the Holy Spirit? Remember when people laid hands on you and prayed that God would come upon you? And I remember that day when it was in Spanish and I had no clue what Pastor was saying. It was a church service. It was a Pentecostal service at Balboa Park and upstairs in one of the rooms. And they were going to town. It was the first time I ever experienced something like that. And then they were really like, whoo, talk about being dancing in the spirit. And everybody's speaking in tongues. And Pastor was preaching in Spanish. I had no clue what they were saying, but I was doing this. I might not have understood it, but I felt it. And I knew that he was praying that the Holy Spirit would come down and would baptize us. And I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I remembered this heavy load being lifted up. And I remember that I felt cleansed. I felt clean. I felt pure. I felt different. That was the start of the Holy Spirit coming in our lives. Mary being conceived by the Holy Spirit was the start of us being conceived, not conceived, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can imagine how she felt. You know what? Being filled with the Holy Spirit, that is, and being born again, that is the most greatest event that could ever take place in your entire life. Being born again. When you're born again, nothing else matters, right? I know when I've been all over the world almost, not all over, but a lot of places. But when I went to Israel, nothing ever mattered after that. It didn't matter because I was where Jesus was. I was walking where Jesus might have walked. I sat where Jesus might have sat. I was out in the Sea of Galilee where maybe he might even walked on water. So it didn't matter anywhere else. It just didn't matter because I was where Jesus was. And you know, being born again, that is the That is the greatest event that could ever happen to you guys. There is no other event that you can think of that can compare to being born again that you know of. I mean, is there? No. Think about it. Being born again is an event that in your life that can't compare to anything else. And Jesus mentions that in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says that he came that we may have life and that we might have it more what? Abundantly. More abundantly. Talk about living for God. Remember before you had God in your life, how you were living your life? Now we're living it more abundantly. Not only did he give us hope, but he gave us a new living hope. And this is exactly what happened to us, what he quoted here in John chapter 10, because our lives have never been the same, and they never will be. And you know what, guys? It's only going to get better. Don't think this is the like Paul said, this is the end of our life, and we're going to be most miserable. It's going to get better when we step into eternity. Man, when I hear about one of our sisters or one of our brothers passing away and going to be with the Lord, I'm jealous. I'm like, man, Lord, when is it going to be my turn? You know? But I know he has a lot of work for us still. Until that happens, I want to be about his business. I want to tell others that, you know, it's only going to get better. Especially in a time you think it's going to get worse. You know, we see what's happening in this world now. Now there's a whole new virus over in the UK, you know, that's worse than the first coronavirus, and it's spreading. It's like, man, can it get any worse? But it is going to get better because Jesus is coming back. I think he's coming back in our lifetime. I think we will see the rapture. And I'm saying this because Chuck said that, and he did see the rapture. I was bummed. I said, wait a minute, Chuck, you said you believe that the rapture is going to come in your lifetime. And I'm thinking, okay, that meant for all of us. But he did see the rapture. He got caught up. So I think the Lord's going to come in our lifetime. We're going to see Jesus. Look up. He says he's going to, if you see all the clouds, he says that we're going to go up and we're going to meet him in the clouds. So this is perfect because there's a lot of clouds. Right? A lot of clouds. And it says that we're going to be caught up in the moment of twinkling of an eye, and we're going to meet him with our loved ones in the clouds. So right above there, I think he's looking down right now. He said, and the Lord is saying, he's saying, Dad, is it time? Is it time? Because, you know, he doesn't even know, I guess, that when is the time. Only the Father, Heavenly Father. But God's going to say, it's time, get your bride. And he's going to come and boom, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to change. Why? Because of the day that Jesus was born and conceived in Mary's womb, that she has a whole new relationship now with God. And because she has, we have a whole new relationship with the Lord. It's going to get better. Look at verse 19. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So again, you think about it, you know, his birth, it created a problem here in the life of Joseph. Because the words here in the Greek, the words where it says he was a just man, not willing to make her a public example, would indicate he had a troubled spirit about what was happening. You probably would too. Think about it. And Joseph, he was put in a position where he was literally torn between, do I obey the word of God? Do I obey the Mosaic law, the law of God, right? Or by exposing Mary to the elders, because that's what they did, and to the leadership of their synagogue, their church, and when they went to their authorities, or torn between his love for her, because he loved her so much. He loved her. So you can imagine the struggle that he went. You can imagine the mental stress that he was feeling at this point. He was perplexed. He was troubled. And I'm sure he was disappointed. I'm sure his imagination was running wild, and he probably felt deceived, that jealousy, that anger. I'm sure he played that what-if game, because we go through this a lot. You know that woulda, coulda, shoulda concept, right? Now think about it, especially you husband. In fact, I want you guys to stand up. Just the men, stand up for me for a moment, okay? stand up, and young men stand up. So every guy should be standing up here. Now, you got to think, if you can, you got to think about it, guys. What if that was your woman? Or what if that would be your future girlfriend? What if that was the Lord came to you and said, hey, you know what? You found out that your woman was pregnant. Think about it. What would be the first thing that would go through your mind? It's the same thing that would, you know, if I was Carmen, you know, if I thought she was pregnant before, you know, when we were younger, obviously, and I'm like, wow. I mean, you can imagine, you guys can sit down now. You can imagine what Joseph was thinking about Mary. How he probably felt, you know what, she committed this very terrible sexual sin against him, and yet he cared for her and he loved her deeply because he did not want Mary to get hurt. And so the only choice was to divorce her quietly and secretly, because again, that's that third step in the marriage, you know, where, you know, first the engagement, you pick your daughter, the son for your daughter, or the daughter for your son, and then the betrothed, and then the actual marriage. And the only way to cancel that is to divorce a marriage that hasn't taken place yet. So Joseph, you know, he loved her so much because he loved her. He didn't want her to get hurt, so he had the other choice was to just divorce her quietly and secretly. But I want to give you something to think about. Because when you think about this, that Joseph was going through, Jesus' birth, it created a predicament for him. It creates a predicament for everybody else. Because his different emotions of hurt that he was feeling at the time when he discovered Mary, his fiancée, is pregnant. So again, the birth of Christ, it brought on this predicament for everyone, in the sense that, you know what? Now we are forced, everybody in the world is forced to make a decision. When Jesus was born, it forced the world to now has to make a decision about his claims of being the Savior of the world. Everybody has to make a decision about who Jesus is. And many times, people will not accept Jesus because why? Now they have to change. People don't want to accept Jesus because they have to change. They have to stop the things that they love to do, and most importantly is the sin. One of the reasons why I didn't want to accept the Lord, and this is a stupid reason. I shouldn't say that word, but it is. I look at it now and I think, I can't believe some of the things I said and did. Reason why I didn't do it is because I felt that I would have to change my appearance. I told him, I don't want to wear a suit. I thought I had to wear a suit to church. You got to remember, I was cholo. My suit was khakis, a Pendleton, and a bandana. I thought, no way, I'm not going to change and wear a tie and suit. What a reason, right? I had to make a decision now that Jesus is born. It became a predicament to me because now I have to make a decision. Do I accept and believe that he is the man who can change my life? He is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He was born of Mary through the Holy Spirit. And I got to make a decision now to accept that, to believe it, or to reject it. And if I believe it, I have to change. I have to not only believe it, but I have to live it. So his birth brought change to the whole world. And we know, guys, we know the outcome, right? You know the outcome in the book of Revelation. It tells us that the whole world is not going to accept him. Even when God reveals himself to them through mighty miracles, they still aren't going to accept. In fact, they're going to say, hey, you know, hide us from the one who sits on the throne. Can you imagine how that, you know, it reminds me of Pharaoh, how hard his heart was hardened too much that he just did not want to accept it. Kind of like a husband and wife, you know, I'm going to use me and Carmen as examples, you know. We'll, you know, even though I know Carmen's right, I won't accept it. Even though she knows I'm right, she won't accept it. That's just the way we are. It's that Mexican culture, I guess. I don't know. You guys are the same, right? You know? I'm not going to come out and say it. Okay, you're right. Once in a while, yeah. But that's not what God wants. Once in a while, I say, yeah, you're right. You know, and because I learned my lesson. When I did say that, she says, then it doesn't end. Ah, I told you. See, you didn't listen to me. Bum, bum, bum. It's like, ay, ay, ay. You know? But anyways, again, the whole world has to make that decision about who Jesus is. And then secondly, in Joseph's mind, Mary's sin was great because she had committed this sin against him. And yet he cared and truly loved her a whole lot, that he, in his love for her that he had, it was genuine and it was great, that he didn't want to bring her any harm. And it just gives us an example of the love that Jesus has for us. Jesus loves us so much. It doesn't matter if we choose him or not. He loves us so much. He doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants everyone to come to eternal life. His love is great for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul gives us that very example of his love for us, because he says that God showed his love for us by sending Jesus to die, by sending Jesus to be born of Mary, by sending Jesus to die on the cross, by sending Jesus to die, but to rise from the dead for when we were still yet sinners. This is when he did it. He didn't do it after you cleaned up your act. I mean, how many of you here, when you were asked to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, you said, well, first, let me get my act together, then I'll come to God, right? You know how many people I've talked to that told me that very thing? And I said, that ain't gonna never happen. You will never get your life right and together. In fact, God doesn't want that. God wants you just the way you are, the worst you can ever be, a sinner. Because God wants to clean you up. God wants to get the credit. Now think about it. If you did that, then when you go to heaven and be with the Lord, God said, hey, I got, no, wait a minute, God, I did. I changed my life. God says, no, he wants you while you were the worst you could be. That's when he came to you, right? I mean, how many of you were pretty bad? How many of you loved it? Yeah, I remember the days of high school. I couldn't wait for that bell to ring because I couldn't wait to go do mischief. I did. Once that bell rang, I was gone. I said, come on, let's go, guys. It's time to do mischief. I had, according to Proverbs chapter 6 or chapter 3, where it says, feet that are swift to do evil. That was my life. I had feet that was swift to do evil. And then Jesus, He showed his great love. God showed his great love for me by sending his son to die while I had feet that were swift to do evil. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, Peter says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love what? Love what? Isn't that true? Love covers the multitude of sin. It's like taking that blanket at night and just cover yourself, you know. Cover your entire and say that's what God's love is. It covers the multitude of sin. You know, Christmas Eve, when my daughter came with her kids, her grandkids, you know, I have that dopey Doberman. And he's in the house and this dog does not want to give up. He just wants to play. He wants to bite. He wants to bark. And so my grandkids, they won't leave him alone. And so they had a blanket, and they would cover themselves with the blanket, and this dog would try to get underneath the blanket to get to him, and they keep covering themselves, and he can't get to him. So what does he do? He just bites the blanket. And then they scream. And I think, you know what? That's what sin's trying to do. It tries to bite us. It tries to get underneath that cover of love that God has covered us with to protect us and to cover us. The multitudes of sin, and it doesn't want to end. And that's the way the enemy is. If I can't get underneath, I'm just going to bite. If I can bite him, maybe they'll get from underneath the cover of love. So just like God and just like Joseph, if we truly love like God did, like Joseph did, then, you know, like Joseph, who didn't want Mary to be hurt, we won't be critical, we won't be judgmental, we won't be harmful to others. If we love according to the way God tells us to love, we won't talk about one, we won't gossip about one or criticize each other, because we're going to learn to trust in God. We're going to learn to trust in that love, that love that helped us, that love that covered the multitudes of sin. And because of that, we'll get along with one another. And we'll seek the Lord in our problems, in our situations, just like Joseph did with Mary. How would you like to have that situation? Think about what you're going through right now compared to what Joseph had to go through. And if we trust in the Lord and we just let the love of Christ constrain us, then we are going to seek the Lord in any problem or any situation that we will go through, and he's going to help us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul tells us this: be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgive one another, even as what? Exactly, as God in Christ forgave us. God says, you got to do the same thing. It doesn't change. And we say, wait a minute, God, I'm gonna do it my way. Our way never works, right? In fact, if you're going to do it your way, all you're doing is going to prolong your situation. You're going to prolong it. And then you're going to think, okay, then we end up blaming God. Because it didn't go my way, it's God's fault. When all this time, God says, wait a minute, I'm going to help you here. And so you don't have to go through it. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul said this: therefore, as the elect of God, you know what the word elect means, right? Chosen, right? You are the chosen of God. How does that make you feel? And you know you were chosen before the foundation of the world even existed? As the elect, chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, even forgive one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. God gave us the way to live. God showed us how to do it. We got our owner's manual here. If you want to know what God's will is in your life, you want to know how to live as a Christian, it's right there in front of you. You just got to read it. And then you read it, but most important, you got to what?
Do it.
Do it. See, that didn't come from Nike. They got that from the Bible. Just do it. Something else to think about here. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, and when Luke gives a description about the birth of Christ, when the angel came to Mary, he gets in more detail. The angel said to Mary, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, Mary was described by God as highly favored. That phrase, highly favored, it comes from a single Greek word which essentially means much grace. Think about that. God's grace. Mary received God's grace. She received that unmerited favor. And it was that unmerited favor, God's grace, that blessed her in spite, and blesses us in spite of us deserving it. You guys think you deserve God's favor? You think you deserve, Lord, I deserve it. It's like Peter when the rich man, and remember the rich man, young man, and he says, hey, I've done all these things. And God, then Jesus said, okay, now all the things that you did, go sell it all and then come follow me. He couldn't do it. And he says, hard for a rich man to enter, a camel to enter the eye of a needle, and then a rich man to get to heaven. And Peter said, hey, we've done all that you did, Lord, that you told us to do. What's in it for us? Be careful. You don't want, hey, wait a minute, Lord, I've been serving you. I've been doing this. What's in it for me? I mean, what are you going to do for me? We have God's grace. It's an unmerited favor. We've been blessed with it. Mary needed the grace that had to come from God. She needed a Savior just like we did. And she knew this because she declared it in Luke chapter 1 when she said, my spirit rejoices in the God of my Savior, my salvation. I thank the Lord that I'm saved, guys. If anything's going to come out of this, I'm going to tell you guys, rejoice that you're saved. Rejoice that you are born again and that you have God's grace in your life. It's unmerited. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. God gave it to us at the birth of Christ. And then we think about Joseph here. Look at verse 19. It says that, it tells us that Joseph, he was a just man. A just man. So you got to think about it. If Joseph, if verse 19 says that he was a just man, and then we have about Mary talking about how she's a virtuous woman, that meant that they both were godly. Doesn't mean that they were perfect, but they were God-fearing. And I think this should be the example to those of you who are seeking a companionship, or when you want to seek a relationship with someone, before you become one with someone, you better consider what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, what Paul said. Or our relationship in this world. Listen to what he says. And I think that I want to emphasize this verse here, verse 19, about Joseph being a just man, and about Mary, talked about Mary being a virtuous woman, highly favored. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, listen to what it says. Paul says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship does righteousness have with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Satan? Or what part of a believer has with an unbeliever? And what arrangement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell with them. I will walk with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, saith the Lord. And don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Talk about a warning, right? At the same time, beautiful. This tells us here, this portions of Scripture, it tells us how the Lord feels about having relationships, about having a relationship, the relationship that he wants for you. Now, I don't want to mention a name, but there's a brother here. He was seen just recently. This happened just this month or last month. He was seeing a woman, and it wasn't a physical thing, but he was dating her, and he asked her what church she went to, and she said she went to church. And he says, what church do you go to? He says, I go to the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, he's thinking, okay, is it a Baptist church? He goes, no, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So when she told him that, and I got to commend him, he says, you know what? I hate to say, but this ain't going to work out. I'm sorry, because I'm not going to change for you. And I don't know if you will change for me. So I think we need to end this relationship. And he ended. And I thought, wow, there is still obedience to the word of God. He fulfilled the word of God. I think that's awesome that he was going to stand up for what he believed in. And I always tell people, let the Lord bring them. Because there's wisdom in taking your time and making a decision when it comes to making a decision with somebody, to marry somebody, guys. And there's that saying, it's better to delay to be sure than to rush and to be sorry. Your relationship with God is very important to him. Your relationship with other people is very important to him. If you're looking, I think everybody, there's a few people who are not married. And if you are looking to be with somebody, God It's so important that you fulfill Scripture according to how God wants you to pick somebody. And they say, well, how do I know? Here it is. I'm giving you, those of you who are looking for a relationship, this is how you know. Make sure he or make sure she loves God more than you. Because if you can find somebody like that, that's a keeper. When they love God more than they love you. See, that's what Carmen told me. She told me, you're second in my life. I didn't understand that. I was mad. Oh, really? Well, two can play that game. I didn't understand she was talking about Jesus. I thought there was somebody else. You're second. How do you think that make you feel? You know, well, your wife just told you you're second. Who is he? Oh, that pep. Boom. You know, I'm ready. And when I found out it was Jesus, let me tell you, I was so excited to come up to Carmen and say, guess what? You are second to me. And, you know, I thought I was going to get the same reaction. When, you know what she told me? That's great. And I'm thinking, whoa, no, that's not that. You're supposed to fall apart. You're supposed to say, pull out that, you know, that thing in the hair and get ready to throw it, lounge it, choo, you know. It's better to delay than to make sure than to rush and be sorry. God, your relationship with people is very important to God. Just like your relationship with him is very important. He's a God of relations. God does not want you to be mixed, matched, or unequally yoked with a non-believer. Now, people say, well, you know what? I can save them. It's called missionary dating. It is. That's what they call missionary dating. And I'm going to say, you know what? It has happened where somebody did meet a non-believer and they did get saved. In fact, my son and Julie, Stevie was raised a Christian. Julie wasn't a Christian. When he introduced us to Julie, it was actually at a Miles Ahead crusade when I used to be the security director, and he was sitting up there with her and he introduced us. Carmen had a hard time with that because she wants a godly woman. She wasn't a Christian. And I told Carmen, listen, you got to stop looking at what she is and you got to look at what she can become. Your job is to pour into her. If this is going to be the woman that he wants, then I would take her and I would disciple her. And you know, when she accepted the Lord, she became more stronger than him. She was walking with God. And now I got my grandkids. Oh, I wouldn't have it any other way. Or Monique with Reuben. Monique got pregnant before they were married. And I gotta commend him because when she came to tell me that she was pregnant, he came with her. He didn't leave her. He didn't let her do it. He came and sat down and he told me, I wouldn't have it any other way because I got Gia. He became saved. I think Trevor was the only one that was a Christian, but he was the only one that came to me and said, hey, when he one day I was right here in church and he came up and says, can we meet? Can we have lunch together? I need to talk to you. So first thing that came to my mind right then is, okay, he's going to tell me she's pregnant. Julie got pregnant. Monique got pregnant. Carmen even got pregnant before we were married. And so he's going to do the same thing, or he's going to ask me for her hand in marriage. So I said, yeah, we'll meet here at the taco shop. So we went there, and you know, he started tearing up and crying. And he said, I just want to ask you for your blessing for your daughter's hand in marriage. And I'm like, wow, okay, she's not pregnant. He wants to marry her. And so I gave him the gospel. I told him, you know what? This is what the Bible says about dating and making sure you stay pure. You stay pure before the Lord, before you get married. And I said, and I told him that, and I used to wear the pageant. I took the pageant. My pastor badge, I'm not sure I told you. I took it off and said, now I'm going to come to you as a father. Not as a pastor, as a father. I said, this is my daughter. Don't you ever disrespect her. Don't ever disrespect her mom or me. Because if you do, then I am going to kick your butt. But I didn't say it like that. And if I don't, I'll get somebody who will. I did. And he said, oh, no, no, I don't believe in violence. And I said, I got good news and bad news. The good news is Jesus Christ. The bad news is me. But God wants you to have a relationship with. He wants the relationship between others. He wants it to be unclean. He wants it to be pure. He wants it to be holy. He wants to be a father unto you. And he wants you to be his son and daughter. And know what greater joy than to know that a parent, a kids, their kids are walking with the Lord. If you feel that way, can you imagine how much God feels? Knowing that you, his sons and daughters, are walking with him? If you're looking for a relationship outside of the church, if you're looking for a companion, make sure they love God more. Let the Lord bring them. Look at verse 20. He says, but while he thought about this, he's talking about Joseph. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. The wind blew my page. He will save his people from their sin. Notice what Joseph, you know, he's thinking about. What he's thinking about to do, he was seeking the Lord. He was praying and seeking God, and God spoke to him. Amen. Why? Because he was seeking the Lord about this circumstance. God met his need emotionally, mentally, spiritually. He met it even physically. God gave Joseph this special revelation because Joseph did exactly what he should have done. He got along with God to think about, to pray about what he was going to go through. That's what we got to do. When you are going through circumstances, when you're going through something that you have no control of, you got to get away and you got to seek the Lord. He got along with God to think about, to pray about what he was going through. And because of his action, God met his needs. And God's purpose was made known to him because he trusted in the Lord. He didn't lean on his own understanding. He submitted everything unto God, and God led him, and he ordered his steps according to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. That's what's going to happen. You trust in the Lord, and whatever you're going through, trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to work it out in your own way. Look at verse 20. It says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from his sin. This is the reason why Joseph, your fiance, is pregnant without your help. And this baby is not going to be like any other baby. He's going to be the savior of the world. How would you like to raise that kid? How would you like to have that kid for your grandchild? Can you imagine if that was my grandchild, the Messiah of the world? You know, I can imagine Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus to the mom and dad if that's what they did, and say, wow, man, talk about having your favorite. You know, can you imagine? Jesus was perfect. That means he was totally obedient as a baby, as an infant, as a child, as a teenager, not doing anything wrong. Any normal person say, hey, come on, why don't you go break a window, do something, be normal kid, you know? Can you imagine having the only kid that's perfect and everybody else's kid is getting whipped, stoned, or beaten? And here, Jesus, he was perfect. Man. But think about it. Notice here also in verse 20 that the angel, when he came to Joseph, he called him son of David. We see Joseph, he was afraid when the angel appeared to him. Now, from being afraid, you can imagine him now, he's shocked as well. Think about it, because here he's in a deep sleep, according to here in 20. You know, he's in a deep sleep, and he's awakened by an angel to tell him that he was chosen by God as a son of David? That's what God did to you guys. He chose us to be a child of God. I'll never forget my Nino saying, "Hey, of all your dad's kids, you were the worst. I thought you wouldn't amount to anything." And to be shocked, and to believe that, and to be shocked to know that God said, "You're my son. You're chosen. I chose you before the foundation of the world existed for such a time as this." I never thought I'd be behind you, standing in front of you, talking. You never thought you'd be sitting here on a COVID Christmas morning. Sitting here, look at you guys are sitting here listening to me. Going over like normal. We never thought we would do this. But God found favor in God. I mean, Joseph, he was afraid. Look at verse 20. He says, "The Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife.'" I mean, how would you like to have a dream like that, right? Have you guys ever dream about God? You ever dream about godly things and things that are you know that this is not a normal dream. This is supernatural work of God. I had such dream, and God was going to tell me when I was going to heaven. I was right there standing before God. My God, I saw his throne. I saw the clouds. I saw the lightning, the thunder. I saw him in the midst of the smoke and the clouds, everything. And he would, every time he talked, the lightning, the thunder would rumble and the lightning would shoot out. And I said, "Lord, when are you going to take me home? When am I coming home?" And he was getting ready to tell me. And right when he was getting ready to speak, and I heard the thunder. Shit, I told you this before. All of a sudden, I woke up because Carmen had a bag of frozen peas going like this. And she was doing this, woke me up, and she had a headache, and she put it for, and I thought, "No, you, God was going to tell me when he was going to bring me home. You woke me up. That thunder wasn't lightning and thunder. It was a bag of frozen peas."
"May the peas of God be with you."
Yeah, the peas of God be with you, she said. "The peas of God be with you, my son." Man, how would you like to have a dream where God just says, "You know what? You're my beloved. You're my son. You're my daughter. I died for you. I rose for you. And now live for me, and I will be back for you." The angel told David, "You know, hey, you're a son of David. And you know what? You're going to be the earthly father to the son of David. The Messiah." I mean, that's a high calling. And you know, back then the Jews, they knew the prophecies about that the Messiah was going to come from the line of David. And I'm sure Joseph knew this as well. But to hear it being told to him, "Joseph, thou son of David," I'm sure that got his attention real fast. I'm sure it made him aware of this divine calling in his life. Because to be told one thing, but to read it yourself as another. So don't listen to what I say. Read it yourself. Because it's totally different than hearing it when you read it yourself. I mean, Joseph, he was just a carpenter. And this revelation from God through this angel was about to order his steps. It explained his predicament. It explained about Mary's situation. And to top it off, it revealed the calling and the destiny of this baby, this promised child, the Messiah, Mary's son. God explained it all to him. Why? Because he got along with God. And the Lord is still doing that with us today. And I'm going to leave you with this. In Hebrews chapter 1. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in these last days," do you guys believe we're in the last days? Right? "But in these last days, he spoke to us by his son, whom he appointed heirs of all things, and through whom he made the universe." So isn't the Lord constantly revealing his will for us? Isn't he constantly revealing revelation, not new revelation, but revelation of his word to us as we read it? The very scriptures, guys, the very word of God that you hold to be true, the very scriptures that you have embedded in your heart. And just like Mary and Joseph, they were given this new relationship with the Lord. And every day, God has given us this new relationship where his mercies are new every morning. His peace passes all understanding. His joy is our strength. His grace is sufficient for us. And his hope is a new living hope. And he's constantly revealing his divine nature to us. So what? So that we won't fall into that same routine of having this religious relationship or having no relationship with him, because he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. He doesn't want to have a play-acting relationship, guys. God wants a real, godly, experience relationship with you in your life. And then last, look at verse 22. So all this was done that it might fulfill which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God is with us. Isn't that beautiful? God is with us. Jesus is with you. It's right there in your lap. They fulfilled two important prophecies here. One, where it talks about that a virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. And those two things happened. Guys, God is with. Translate, God is with us. And God is not only with us, but God is inside of us. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. Emmanuel, God is with you. Through these times or whatever is going on, God is with you. Don't ever forget that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. Emmanuel. God is with us. Thank you for the examples of Jesus' birth. The start of a whole new relationship that we now have with you over 2,000 years ago was the start of God moving and salvation coming. And it's still moving and it's still coming today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Bless us, Lord. Bless us and continue to be with us. Continue to walk with us. And help us, Lord, to continue to trust in our relationship with you. And we give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. You know, tell each other, Emmanuel, God is with you. God bless. Amen.